From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the ninth day of May 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Bakes of Stuart Peterson from Champaign, Illinois. The folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, will be here to look at the agricultural cash grain market. Drew Lerner will help us discuss the weather forecast. And our own Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, will be along with today's agricultural news. We'll also hear from Purdue Ag economist Chris Hurt. He thinks the beef industry may be moving too cautiously to expand at this point. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on a Wednesday afternoon. Futures were lower. In the wheat pit, down 17 and three quarters. In the nearby May at $5.91 and a quarter. July at $6, down 15 cents. And the hard red in Kansas City, down 17 cents at $6.19 a bushel. From the corn pit, May futures at $6.41 and a quarter, down 24 and three quarters. July down 15 and three quarters at $6.07 and a quarter. And September corn at $5.27, down 11 cents. December futures down 11. 7 and a quarter at $5.16 and three quarters. March at $5.27 and three quarters, down 11 and three quarters. May of next year at $5.36, 12 and a quarter lower. And July corn of next year at $5.42, down 14 and a quarter cents. December futures there down 11 at $5.26 and three quarters for the 2013 year. May soybean futures, $14.27 and three quarters a bushel, down a dime today. July down 8 cents at $14.30 and a quarter. August at $14.16 and a quarter, down 9 cents. And the November beans at $13.33 and a half, down 7. January at $13.31 and a quarter, down 8 and a quarter cents. The May contract at $12.89 and a quarter, down 11 and three quarters. Bean meal futures finished at $4.14.90, down $1.70. Bean oil at $52.46, that's down 44 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the August contract at $118.92 and a half, up 47 and a half. The August feeders at $158.90, down or rather up 12 and a half cents. And June lean hogs at $84.85 today, up 55 cents per 100 pounds. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, June contract, $98.50 a barrel, down 51 cents. Ethanol at $2.16 and 9 tenths, that's 3 and 7 tenths lower. Natural gas at $2.46 and 2 tenths, up 6 and 9 tenths. And heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.99 and 3 tenths of a cent a gallon, that's 2 tenths of a cent lower, or rather higher on the afternoon. Gold futures at $1,593.70 an ounce, down $10.30. And the dollar at 80.07. That's right, 80.07, up 0.338 for the day. The CRP index at 294.83. That's down 0.3 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. As it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area yet this afternoon, scattered showers, a few sprinkles, mostly sunny, a high of 68 degrees with a north-northwest wind at about 14 miles an hour, gusting to 18. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 41. That north wind will continue at 7 to 10. And then tomorrow, sunny skies and a high of 71 degrees. Tomorrow we'll have calm winds. And then Thursday evening, mostly clear, a low of 48. And Friday, sunny with a 77-degree high. South-southwest winds at 5 to 9 miles an hour. And Friday night, mostly clear, and a low of 54 degrees. On Saturday, partly sunny and a high of 75. Saturday night, cloudy and 53. Sunday, a chance of showers, partly sunny, a high near 71. Sunday evening, cloudy and 52. Monday, sunny and 71. And Monday night, partly cloudy and a low of 53 degrees. Tuesday, partly sunny and 72. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign, Illinois, to take up the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. Thanks so much for being along today.
Good afternoon, Ted.
Well, it was an interesting day yesterday when we were talking to Wayne Nelson during the closing market report. He looked at the $6.66 close in the nearby corn market, and he said, that doesn't look good. It was superstition only, but it was an ugly day in Chicago.
Boy, it certainly was. We saw the lowest close in July corn since April 25th when we went down to 601, which I would look at as being the next target, of course. We put a triple bottom in down in December at 515. Triple bottoms, as we all know, seldom hold. It's never not normally a good sign. Let's just put it that way, you know. And beans were right along with it. You know, they did close above the 40-day, which I thought was good. And you know, November itself basically had the lowest close it's had since April 18th of this year. So nothing looking good. New contract lows in wheat. But I really think, Todd, all of that was magnified somewhat. You notice it all came toward the end of the day, and that was when they announced that there was an online petition out there that's signed by over 300 traders saying that they're threatening to boycott the ICE futures opening next week, Monday, and then if the CME goes through with it, boycott those expanded hours too. So something like that puts the fear in every trader's heart.
So would that be I assume that would be open outcry traders, which are bulk of liquidity, is that right? And maybe you can help me out with which traders are thinking that they think might have signed this petition.
Well, I would have to think that it's probably a combination of both. The biggest concerns seem to be that they're worried there's going to be more volatility. They're worried that liquidity is not going to be as good, but the biggest being the USDA reports and trading during those reports. I think the most interesting part is that when the CME sent their letter for certification to the CFTC, they said that there was no substantive opposing views, and evidently they hadn't talked to anybody else about it.
Well, they made the decision kind of in a hurry, so maybe they hadn't, I suppose.
Well, that's what I would say, but the CFTC was interviewed today, and they said that they're still on their 10-day timeline, so it doesn't appear that that's been disturbed at all. So I think that is what really propelled us lower. People just got scared, and we've got the USDA report out tomorrow morning.
Right, so we have the WASDE numbers out tomorrow morning. We have this big down today. Let me ask you a question about the down today. The 24 cents in the May, December was down less than half of that, down 11 and a quarter for the old, or for the new crop corn. When the marketplace looks at this, if it really was precipitated by the trade, and I don't know that anybody would know that, but by the traders themselves, can it be ignored in the future, or will the triple bottom and the lows that are come with it just be in place and in play?
Well, I think that, you know, anytime you're looking at May is very close to expiring. There was only 3,400 contracts left in open interest this morning, and so either people took it into expiration and had long positions and were just getting out of those long positions, you know, and deciding they weren't going to take any more chances after we hit that 666 and three-quarter high overnight last night. The general trade itself is going to be paying more attention to July corn at this stage of the game. And so I think the new low close in July corn, you know, compared to the April 25th close, certainly is there, but that'll all change tomorrow morning if we get any different news coming out of USDA.
What do you expect from the WASDE report?
Well, I think that, you know, it's one of those situations where we have an expectation of $749 million for carryout on corn. If we come in lower than that, and I believe the trade would feel that that was justified, I think we could easily see ourselves turn around. And I myself expect to see us close this gap that we have between the May and the July spread. Right now we're 34 cents apart. During the day today we were in the 40s. I think that that'll come around. But we did see basis widen today in corn, and that might just be a play right ahead of the report, you know, to see once if they couldn't bring futures down, because it appears that they don't have the demand, and then tomorrow maybe bring it back. But I expect to see corn, if it's at 749, it's going to be very neutral, and then we'll probably continue to slip lower. Beans, I think, are probably going to be bullish, but that is already expected. And so after being down today, I think beans could take a bounce back up. Wheat, pretty neutral. When you get into 2013, that's where it's going to be interesting, because if the carryout does come in at the 1.714, which is the expected number, that would be pretty negative to December 13 corn, which is currently carrying about a 10-cent premium to 12. So if anything, that's where farmers are going to have to pay very close attention to what's going on.
All right, so we'll know tomorrow morning whether that one, and this is the first projection, of course, and we've got only acres, relatively speaking, and not an official, we don't have an official number, we have an estimate number to deal with, and we have a long way to go in this crop year.
Well, that's true, and, you know, we do have people out there talking about the 164 should go to 166 because of how far ahead we are on planting. The thing I think that people miss sometimes is they don't take into account corn that was early planted, and like Dr. Natzinger said, can have physiological changes just because of the extreme cold, which can have an impact on yield. Well, we won't know any of that until we start to harvest this next year. But one thing's for sure, there's going to be lots of volatility rolling around as we move into the next couple of months and we take a look at what the weather is.
Were you following the outside markets much today?
Oh, you betcha.
Tell me about them.
How could you not follow the outside markets? Well, the Eurozone, of course, we keep on. If you listen to Dave and I talk this morning, we talked a great deal about Greece. You know, Greece is at the epicenter. In fact, one of the headlines in the New York Times today said that Europe is in danger of giving itself a nervous breakdown with all the talk of the economics and the irreversible declines that they've got going on. We saw evidence of that in the Dow today. The Dow was lower. It's actually just a little bit lower right now, but well off of its bottoms, and that's primarily because the European bailout group announced that they are actually going to give Greece the 4.2 billion euros of the 5.2 billion they were supposed to get. And that was a big concern, that they were not going to forward that to them because of all the concerns about the elections and the desire to not have austerity put in place. In other words, what seems to be coming across very loud and clear is that they believe they deserve other people's money, but they don't believe they want to give anything up for it. Well, I was just going to say, you know, and that's very disheartening when you think about the fact that if they do default, this could start a trickle-down effect, and if they can get away with it, you could see Italy, Spain, and Portugal do the same thing.
And we would have then in place what happened effectively with Asia in the mid-90s.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, from a producer's and end-user standpoint, what they've got to really be thinking about, you know, in the past, this type of situation caused a war. I don't know if that would be the case this time. I think it would be entirely different. But, you know, producers and end-users, they really have to be their own generals. You know, and their operation, really. I look at risk as being the enemy. They've got to be prepared to defend and to succeed, and the only way they're going to do that is by having a solid plan that gives them protection and opportunity, because who can guess or who can foresee what's been going on over in Europe again?
Well, I look forward to talking with you Saturday or Friday afternoon, and then for our Saturday Commodity Week program, you and Dan Zwicker will be on. He'll be, of course, in Louisiana at his new job there at CPG Enterprises, and Brian Stark. And we'll be able to talk with this week, who we haven't talked with in a long time, Jerry Bange of the World Agricultural Outlook Board for Commodity Week. So that one should be fun, too.
It'll be a lot of fun. Thanks a lot, Todd. Have a great day.
Hey, you too. That's Jackie Vakes. She's with Stuart Peterson, located in Champaign, Illinois. Joins us here on the closing market report for Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Hey, don't forget to visit our website at WILLAG.org or just dial our phone number at 217-333-3434 with an update of either the opening or closing numbers and a bit of analysis. We update that one at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every day. Dave Dickey is here now with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, the House Agriculture, Nutrition, and Horticulture Subcommittee met yesterday to hear suggestions for the shape and future funding level for the government's Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program better known as food stamps. The budget, sponsored by House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan, a Republican from Wisconsin, calls for a reduction of $133.5 billion in SNAP spending over the next decade. However, the House Agriculture Committee voted on April 18th to cut only $33.2 billion from the SNAP program over the next 10 years. The U.S. Treasury is scheduled tomorrow to issue its monthly budget review, and the expectation is that the numbers will be better than at any point during the Obama administration. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office says it expects Treasury Department to report its first monthly budget surplus since 2008, a potential sign of improvement in the fiscal picture. Safeway declared that it would move over time to buying its pork from vendors that slaughter hogs not born to sows sequestered in gestation crates. Safeway did not offer a date when the company would move completely away from buying pork from hogs whose sows were kept in individual sow cages, but company officials indicated the plan will take years to finalize. A Safeway spokesperson did not know how Safeway would verify claims on gestation-free hogs or how the industry would trace such animals. Safeway operates in 22 states. USDA opened $33 million in extra funding yesterday by announcing a new national water quality initiative in 157 watersheds. The initiative focuses on watersheds from 10,000 acres to 40,000 acres in size, where USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service feels the agency can make a difference in water quality. USDA will start taking applications May 18th and will stop them on June the 15th. CHS Incorporated, the largest farmer cooperative in the U.S., is forming a joint venture with a large Japanese cooperative to supply wheat and barley to Japan. CHS, based outside of St. Paul, Minnesota, will own 51% of the joint venture with Tokyo-based cooperative Zenno. The venture will export grain in the U.S., Canada, and Australia to Japan. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. He'll post the WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, into our website at willag.org. That's willag.org at about 7:30 Central Time tomorrow. You should have, if you're already signed up for our weekend newsletter, an email from Dave in your inbox that you'll be able to check tomorrow morning, and the numbers will show up there as well. Now up next, Purdue Ag economist Chris Hurt thinks the beef industry may be moving too cautiously. I'll have some of the reasons why. It's been a rough couple of months for the beef cattle industry. First, there was the whole pink slime thing, a lean, finely textured beef, or LFTE, and then another BSE, or mad cow-infected animal, showed up in California. It's caused the beef trade to be very cautious. Not particularly the consuming public side of the trade, says Purdue Ag economist Chris Hurt. Cash prices are off about $9 per 100 pounds, but rather in the futures market, where prices slumped $15.
The much larger decrease in futures markets as compared over to the cash could be signaling that futures participants have over-responded to the fears of the negative impacts on beef demand of these two events. Of course, there can be some other explanations, such as the possibility that futures markets were just too bullish on cattle prices in early March. And that argument would suggest that the excess optimism simply had to be taken out of the futures, with prices forced to drop more than cash.
Either way, admits Hurt, the recent declines are coming off of record high prices. It is a situation that often results in a large price correction once the upper momentum it's broken.
Most in the cattle markets remain cautious. That means they are watching cash cattle prices closely for any indications of demand losses. Since LFTB was primarily taken out of hamburger, This should have reduced the supply of beef and specifically hamburger. That impact by itself would have increased overall beef prices, assuming demand stayed constant. Of course, demand may have also decreased, and that would have been a price dampening factor.
On the discovery of the BSE cow, most analysts, and it appears the consuming public, have dismissed it. That's good for the cash price of beef. So, says Hurt, is the smallish size of the U.S. beef cattle herd, although he thinks traders have underpriced the futures market by about $3 to $5 a hundredweight.
If no new negative events arise for the cattle industry, one can at least make the argument that forward prices are just simply too depressed right now. However, the market is cautious for legitimate reasons. Time will tell if price recovery is in the future or if the cautious marketplace today turns out to be the correct opinion.
Beef production this year in the United States is expected to be down 4% from last. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Ben Stoller of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, is on the phone line to talk about the cash grain market. Ben, markets were sharply lower in Chicago. The lead option corn down 24 and three quarters. The July, which I think is probably where your numbers are coming from now, at 6:07 at a quarter down 15 and three quarters. Did you fade as well today?
We certainly had an off day, so very limited selling. Seen some selling just out of, you know, fear going into tomorrow's report that it could be a little worse.
Worse meaning a much bigger ending stocks figure than some had expected?
I think that's certainly a large part of it. You know, we've got a new crop, December corn futures that closed in the night at 517. So, you know, we've got a lot of corn in the ground. We've gotten some moisture on it here as of late, getting the heat. So I think there's a lot of thought that we could have a fairly large carryout.
Spot basis reacted how today?
You know, basis is firm. We actually, we are 37 over here at Climbers, and we raised our basis for the June-July time frame to show an even basis, 37 out there. And, you know, we're hearing numbers in Decatur, Illinois, of 60 over being traded, and eastern part of the state, Portland, Indiana, we're hearing some similar numbers out there. So basis sure is firm.
Searching for old crop corn, whose hands is it in?
Well, it's there's still producer bushels out there. You know, there's a number of guys who, you know, have been fairly tight holders. They saw the crazy basis last summer, and they've been holding on to it pretty tight.
And when you look at the soybean basis, what kind of reaction has it had over the last week?
You know, we've seen a tremendous drop in soybeans past on the future side here the past week. We are just now starting to hear some basis rally on the bean side. You know, most of the processors posted in that 6 to 8. I'm hearing numbers of maybe 20 could trade, 20 over. But, you know, it's going to take a real basis pop to get beans to move. You know, we were up at over $15 not too long ago, and July bean futures close at 14:30 tonight.
And your bids are for the day?
Cash corn in Adelphi, 6:42. Corn to Climbers, 6:44. Ibeck ethanol plant, 6:32. And beans to Adelphi, 14:12.
Thanks so much, Ben.
Thank you, Todd.
Ben Stoller of the Andersons back in 2 minutes with the Ag Weather.
It's National Butterscotch Brownie Day. Samuel Parkinson began making butterscotch candy in 1817. The candy had royal approval, and it was one of England's attractions until it ceased production in 1977. The recipe was revived in 2003. On this day in agricultural history in 1787, James Pollard Espy was born. An American meteorologist, he was one of the first to collect meteorological observations by telegraph. In 1845, Carl Gustav Patrick de Lava was born, a Swedish scientist. He invented a continuous centrifugal cream separator, which he patented in 1894. Milk flowed into the machine in a small and continuous stream and was whirled and separated as it passed through, the cream leaving from one aperture and the skimmed milk from another. He also designed a vacuum milking machine. However, it was not until after he died that the company he founded made its first commercially practical milking machine. And in 1914, C.W. Post died. He founded the Postum Cereal Company in 1895. In 1922, the company was renamed General Foods Corporation. Its earliest cereal product debuted in 1897, and you can still find Grape Nuts on grocery shelves today. A 1904 cereal went by the name of Elijah's Manna. It's better known today as Post Toasties. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line is Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, thanks so much for taking the time with us. How about the forecast for our part of the world today, please?
Well, it looks like we're going to be seeing some favorable weather for a little while. Some sunshine will occur across a part of the region until the next frontal system shows up, and that is going to start pushing into the northwestern parts of the Corn Belt as we go into Friday afternoon. It'll take its time getting into the heart of the Midwest, but it's probably sometime on Saturday morning, probably just shortly before dawn. We'll likely see showers and a few thunderstorms pushing into northwestern Illinois, back into Missouri, and extending out of it to Canada. The frontal boundary, though, is losing or will be losing its identity as it comes across the region. So a lot of the precipitation is going to become erratic. And so you may see rain in your neighborhood and you may not. We'll see coverage running up around maybe 50% of the heart of the Midwest. Rain totals will probably vary widely. We'll probably get most areas less than a half inch. There may be a couple of spots that do a little bit better than that. But the precipitation is going to be a little bit erratic. Well, like I said, there's not a lot of moisture availability right now, and the frontal, the boundary itself, is losing some of its identity. So as long as that continues to be the case, we shouldn't run into a huge amount of moisture. So field work should be able to advance quite swiftly across the region, and we're going to continue to see temperatures that are favorable across a big part of the area. The next two or three days, we'll probably see the temperatures start off rather cool, a lot of 60 and some 70-degree readings expected. As we get into the weekend, there'll be an opportunity for some temporary warming, perhaps on Friday, but already turning back cooler again over the heart of Saturday and Sunday as another round of cooler air comes southeastward from the northern plains and parts of Canada.
Across the Corn Belt in general, are most places in good shape now for the growing season?
Absolutely. The rain that fell last week was substantial, and many of the areas that were running 30-day moisture deficits of significance across the Midwest were wiped out with the rains that occurred. We still have some longer-term moisture deficits probably still prevailing, but from a crop perspective, the amount of moisture that's necessary to support these plants, we're doing very well. I don't think there's any part of the Midwest right now that is in serious need for precipitation. Obviously, we'll need to continue a periodicity of rain across the region along with some seasonable temperatures. But right now, I think we're sitting pretty across the majority of the region.
Turn your attention now to the other part of the world that produces the second largest corn crop on the planet. That's China, about half the size of what's generally produced in the United States. How is their starting of the growing season going?
Well, there's a little bit of a split personality over there in China. The North China Plain, which represents a fair amount of their corn crop, had some significant rain in the third week of April, but it hasn't rained much since then. Now, that particular rain event was great. It did a really good job in stimulating some planting, though we're now running out of moisture there, and it looks like the next 2 weeks will be relatively dry. So as long as that is the case, there will be an increasing need for rainfall across some of that region as we move into the latter part of May. Now, the far northeast part of China, where a really large portion of corn and soybeans, too, are produced, the moisture situation is much better, and timely rains have been occurring and will continue to occur across some of that region. So I think for the most part, China's doing okay for right now. And when we get into the last week of May and early June, it's going to be very important that they start getting better rains in that North China Plain, though.
That's Drew Lerner with World Weather Incorporated joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.